Welcome to the Gripcast Gymnastics Unfiltered. I'm your host, Tamille Jones. This is a platform to where we discuss the ins and outs of everything gymnastics. We would like to thank our sponsors, Gymnast United, Inc. and Pope Counseling Center for supporting this podcast. Today, we'll be talking about body image and eating disorders. Today, we have Kimberly Krueger, therapist, founder, and owner of Southlake Counseling and Consulting. Hello, Kimberly. How are you today?
Thank you, Tamille. Hello. How are you? And I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I do think this is an important aspect of gymnast lives, of body image, and just talking about some important discussions of eating disorders, which happen quite often within the sport of gymnastics. So let's start talking about some things that parents can do, maybe some helpful tips, encouraging words.
Absolutely. There's so much that parents can do to help influence their kids and their teens. And first, I'd say, I know it's easier said than done, but you want to start with your own body image. You want to be a positive role model for your child, modeling body acceptance and positivity toward your own body. Be positive. You may not think that your child, or especially your teen, is listening to you or paying attention, but they are. Mm-hmm. So don't let your kids hear you talking bad about your own body or anyone else's body for that matter. So really be positive, and even if you have to fake it till you make it, really appreciate your body, because they are listening. The second thing I would say is focus on your child as a whole person. Help your kids really appreciate all of their physicality and all that their bodies can do. Mm-hmm. Focus more on just what their bodies can do than just their appearance and their weight. Appreciate their individuality and their diversity. All of our bodies are different, just like in nature. We all come in different shapes and sizes, and we have different, different hair, different eye color. So really help your child appreciate their individuality, and don't compare them to others. Really help them be their own person.
Can you repeat that, what you just said about comparison to others? Do not do that. Can you say that one more time for our listeners?
Yes. I tell my parents all the time, and some of my individual clients too, I'm like, to compare is to despair, right?
Yes.
So I really tell my parents to focus on your child's individuality and helping them be their own best person. They're never going to be anybody else, right? And so don't compare them to other people. Help them find their own strengths and build upon that. Because that's super important for them to develop their own confidence and their own appreciation of their own bodies.
Great.
The third thing I'd say, Tamille, is to really help your child focus on their overall health and self-care, not just their weight. Mm-hmm. Developing a positive body image is more than just about your child's appearance. And it's important that our kids and teens really understand this. We need to really encourage and role model healthy nutrition and exercise, and just moving our bodies. It doesn't have to be, going to the gym and doing a strenuous workout. While that's great, and can reach our goals as far as fitness or team sports, but we can just enjoy movement. The other thing is eliminating fad diets and fat talk. Really teaching our kids ways to manage stress. And interestingly enough, too, is helping them deal with their feelings. Because dealing with their feelings and developing emotional intelligence helps impact their overall body image. And then the last thing I would say about what parents can really do is help them understand the role that media has on the development of their body image. Really help your child and teen debunk what I call the perfect body that they see in the media. And that, you know, a lot of the images that they're seeing have filters on them or have been photoshopped. And we as adults know that, but our kids don't know that. And so we really need to talk a lot about that and listen to them about any of the concerns that they have about their bodies. So parents, there's a lot that you can do, and just be positive and encouraging and recognizing your own child's individuality and helping them.
Great tips. I would also include within there healthy hygiene in there too, because I think sometimes parents forget that hygiene is also, you want to make sure that that is positive and you're giving good tips on how to be clean and healthy and how to take care of your body. Too.
Yes, absolutely. And with that self-care part, that is an absolute tip.
So can you tell us, because as we grow older and, you know, the teenage years are kind of difficult, why do you think body image is such a focal point for, tweens and young adults? And you kind of touched on it just with media. I think a lot of it is that. But can you explain that a little bit more?
Right. Well, I think, you know, again, I think social media has an impact on everything in our lives these days. But I think for, you know, teens and tweens, this is a time when their bodies are just rapidly changing and they're getting ready to go through puberty or going through puberty. And there's just so much that's happening to them in a short amount of time that they just don't really understand. And at the same time that they're going through this, they're most concerned about fitting in and belonging and really looking the same as their peers. And so this is just a difficult time of transition. And one of the things they start to realize is that their body is something that they can control. All these other things outside, they don't have a lot of control over. Yes. And they start to realize, you know, their appearance and what they're doing with their bodies, they do have control over. So they start to really hyper-focus on that.
Yes. How does sports impact body image?
Oh, gosh. You know, research overall shows that there is a positive correlation between sports and body image. You know, sports can improve a kid's sense of accomplishment, their determination, their motivation. And overall, just, you know, exercise helps increase fitness. It helps increase an awareness of all that your body's capable of and helps you with your sense of just self-efficacy. So, sports are such a good thing for, you know, for all of us, our children and teens to be involved in. It helps with their sense of, you know, teamwork and being part and belonging to something. However, you know, while it's such a good thing, we do see that negative body image keeps kids from you know, wanting to participate in sports and teens. So that's why it's so important to start out really helping your child have a positive body image. Because when children are feeling so negatively about themselves, they don't want to participate in sports and be seen. And again, research just shows over and over that participating in team sports is, you know, so good for our kids and our teens.
I want to piggyback off of that too, just because within gymnastics, there's such a calling for perfection in the actual sport that it kind of translates to how you are physically looking and how you look at a leotard. And you know, you want to make sure that you're surrounded by great coaches, because if you do have that negative coach looking at you and saying, you know, derogatory things, that totally impacts that athlete. So I would encourage parents, please encourage your children and always speaking positive things to how they are and their body, because it's so helpful coming from family first. And then if something does, you know, transpire that's negative, that child can, you know, speak up for themselves or have that self-esteem of, you know what, you may not like how I look, but I like how I look. My mom says I'm okay, and they can move on. You know what I mean?
Yes, so absolutely.
I think
you took the words out of my mouth, Tamil. I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, the role of coaches in that is super, super important. And they can have such a positive impact on our kids.
Yes.
Or a negative impact, depending yes. on how that is handled and how they're coached.
Yes.
And it's important to focus on their effort and their performance versus their appearance and how they look in their leotards.
Yes. So we're going to go into more detailed information, just talking about eating disorders, and if you can give our listeners the different types of eating disorders.
Sure. There are a number of different types of eating disorders, and I'll just kind of highlight some of them, and I'm happy to give you more information about any particular one. Some of the more common ones are anorexia nervosa. And that eating disorder is characterized by significant weight loss and difficulty maintaining appropriate weight and kind of a fear of fatness, distorted body image, and restriction of food and calories. May involve some compulsive exercise and or purging. But typically what you see is our individuals are having difficulty maintaining an average or adequate body weight. So they're typically under body weight. The other category that we see is what we call bulimia nervosa. And this involves the individual having a cycle of binging, which is eating larger amounts of food in a short amount of time, and then compensating in some way for the amount of food that they've eaten by purging in some way after they binged, by, you know, by vomiting or using laxatives or compulsive exercise to rid themselves of the calories that they just consumed. The other category that we see is what's called binge eating disorder. And this is very similar to bulimia, except there's no compensatory method. So these individuals eat large amounts of food in a short amount of time and feel a sense of loss of control while they're eating, but they don't compensate for the food that they've eaten. So there's not purging or excessive exercise involved after they've eaten the food. Some of the you know, less known categories that you may not have heard so much about are what we call OSFED, which used to be what was called eating disorder not otherwise specified. And this is kind of a DSM, what we use in diagnosis of the DSM-5, is an eating disorder that is very severe, but does not meet the exact criteria for one of the three categories that we just talked about. So it may still be very life-threatening, but it doesn't meet the rigid criteria for one of the first three diagnoses. Another eating disorder that we see a lot and that is on the rise is what's called ARFID. And that was previously referred to as a selective eating disorder, or what some parents may call picky eating. Mm-hmm. And this is not unusual that you may see some children having picky eating, but this involves very restrictive eating and a sense of a child not gaining adequate weight or being able to maintain an adequate weight because of the selective eating and the restrictive eating. And this differs from anorexia in that the people that are struggling with this are not focused on body image or particularly trying to lose weight. They just are particularly sensitive or afraid of the particular foods, but they're not focused on their body image or particular weight loss. Some of the others that are less well known are pica, and this is an eating disorder that involves eating non-food items such as paint, wallpaper, dirt, things like that. Rumination disorder. This involves when an individual is regurgitating their food. And this is not on purpose. It's just a disorder that develops and they're not meaning to do this, but their food is regurgitated and they may chew this several times, or they may re-swallow it, or they may spit this out. And then the other one that is definitely on the rise that a lot of people don't know about is what we call orthorexia. And this is an obsession with healthy eating. And this isn't just, trying to be healthy or eat a little bit better. This is an obsession and a fear of eating anything that may not be deemed by this person as extremely, extremely healthy. May be considered what we call on the spectrum of an obsessive compulsive type of behavior. And then the last one that may fall into several of the other categories and was really coined by the medical field is what we call diabulimia. And that is when an individual has diabetes and they restrict their insulin to lose weight and to manipulate weight loss. And again, as you can imagine, that can be a very serious eating disorder. Mm-hmm. When they're, manipulating their medical insulin to affect their body image or their weight loss. And so those are the main categories and a brief kind of overview of those.
I'm learning a lot. And I'm sure our listeners are too.
I was just saying that there's some of those that are more talked about than others. Some mm-hmm. are less well known.
Yes. Can you give us some signs of someone having any of these disorders?
Absolutely. Always the signs are going to vary across eating disorders. As I just mentioned, a number of different categories. Mm-hmm. But some of the main things that you can look for is that your child or teen or whoever it is that you're concerned about has increased anxiety and stress about their body, their weight, or their appearance. You start to notice that they're talking more negatively about their body and they're comparing themselves negatively to others. They're obsessing about losing weight, obsessing about food, counting calories, about dieting. Mm-hmm. They're obsessing about carbs, fat, certain categories of food, you can say. They may not want to do things because of their body, not wear a bathing suit, not participate in sports. They may not want to go out with friends to eat anymore. You'll also see them start to link food with feelings of guilt or shame or blame. Mm-hmm. Or having to do exercise because they've just eaten a certain food. You may also see them start to refuse to eat certain foods, and this may progress to restriction against whole food categories. So, for example, you may see them start to limit their carbs, and then now they're not eating any carbs or any fats or anything like that. They may start to be uncomfortable eating around others. They may start skipping meals. You also start to notice more emotional things too, like mood swings, sadness. Physical things you might notice is there may start to be a fluctuation in their weight, mm-hmm. both up or down. You may start to see or hear some complaints about stomach cramps, dizziness, headaches. Later on, you may see some dizziness or passing out. Things like that. Mm-hmm. With some of the orthorexia, you may see, and with some of the other eating disorders as well, you'll notice the person compulsively checking labels, really being obsessed about nutrition ingredients, mm-hmm. Worrying about what foods will be served at upcoming events. So, it may be breakfast and they're already worried about what grandma's going to be serving for dinner. Mm-hmm. And that's never happened before. And you're like, honey, I have no idea what she's going to be having for dinner tonight. But they're showing high levels of distress if there are certain foods that are not available or if certain safe foods are not available. They're constantly looking at themselves in the mirror. Mm-hmm. For our females, if they're of the age where they are menstruating, they're starting to miss their periods. Mm-hmm. They may be having sleep problems. If you start to notice, cuts or calluses on the top of your child or teen's hands, this may also be from self-induced vomiting. If you start to notice more dental problems, this could also be a sign of purging. It really impacts our teens and our kids' dental health as well. So that's important to take notice of. The other things you might notice are suddenly they're drinking excessive amounts of water, gum chewing, frequent visits to the bathroom after meals, in bulimia or binge eating, you also may start to notice large amounts of food suddenly missing. And these are some of the biggest warning signs that you'll see.
Well, I want to just make it aware for parents that have children within gymnastics. It just reminds me of when I was younger, and I know during the summers we had to start writing down what we ate. We had to wear 2 to 3 inch, elastic bands around our stomachs to make sure we had good posture. I think when certain things are done like that, it can get to a point where it is excessive. And uh-huh. that kind of starts the cycle of leading to, I think parents need to be very aware of what's going on and very present with their children of how their body image is and what they perceive it to be.
Absolutely.
Because it starts there, but it can lead on to further in life. So we want to make sure we attack these issues, ahead of time if there's something that does go to the extreme and goes out of order. But different things like that, starting at a young age, it can persist to something worse. So I would suggest maybe even talking to those coaches that are wanting more and more of wanting to know what they eat, wanting to start weighing them every time they come to the gym. You know, that kind of leads to anxiety and different things that can lead up to having different eating disorders or having negative body image, because they're so concerned about eating their weight and the things that they shouldn't be when they're just kids, you know? And I think sometimes sports can lead to some of these things that can be devastating. You know, I love sports. Sports are great. You know, there are a lot of aspects that are good and well for an athlete. But when you have different coaches or different teams or different negative aspects come in, it can lead to something that is destructive. So I just want to bring that to light. You know, this conversation is something that we can learn from and be aware. And like I said, parents being present of what is happening in their children's lives. And not only that, who they're surrounding themselves with, and just making sure that they have positive role models around them that want the very best for them, period. Not just about the sport, but period as just them and their whole entire life.
Absolutely.
Because it does, it starts in your youth, you know? So I just wanted to bring that to light a little bit. Can you give us information on when you think professional help should come in and when parents need to, yes, you see the signs going on, you've addressed it a little bit, but you need some professional help. What's the next step to getting help?
Well, Tamil, what the first thing I always tell parents to do is, you know, first, of course, talk to your child. And what we do know is that the chances, the earlier that we get kids and teens in or anyone in for treatment, the better and the more successful that we can be. The earlier that eating disorders are detected and treated, the more success that we have. So I say always talk to your child first, take them to their pediatrician or their general practitioner, and then of course from there get them in with an eating disorder specialist that can work with them. If kids and teens are seek treatment earlier rather than later, we're very, very successful turning, you know, kind of the eating disorder around really quickly. The longer that it goes untreated, the longer it takes us to treat it. So prognosis is so much better if we get them in sooner. So I always tell parents, you know, to get in sooner rather than later. That is what research is showing. And typically if we can get kids and teens in within that first year that it's being detected, our success rates go up so much higher, especially with anorexia nervosa. You know, it is, it has the highest, not to scare people, but it has the highest mortality rate of any of our psychiatric illnesses. And is one of the most difficult to treat. So the sooner that you get someone in for that, the more success we have. So I would tell parents to not brush this off. Don't think of it as, especially if you are seeing any of the signs that I discussed earlier. Again, you know, you don't have to, you know, to panic if you see your, you know, your teen just being self-conscious, but if you're noticing any of the other things, I would err on the side of caution. Talk to them, talk to your pediatrician, and just get an evaluation. Any of your therapists or people that specialize in eating disorders can help guide you in that direction.
Great. So can you tell us how our listeners can get in contact with you? Because we've learned so much great information today about body image and eating disorders. How can we get in contact with you, Kimberly?
Absolutely. You can reach out to me at South Lake Counseling and Consulting. My email is KKRUEGER at southlakecounseling.com, or you can call our office number at 704-896-7776. I'd love to help you in any way I can.
Thank you so much, Kimberly Krueger, for coming on. And listeners, please contact South Lake Counseling and Consulting for any further information. Again, we would like to thank our sponsors, Gymnasts United, Inc. and Pope Counseling Center for supporting this podcast. If you would like to support this podcast, you can send donations to www.anchor.fm/Gymnasts United, Inc., or you may go to www.thegripcast.com. On next Wednesday, which will be November 4th, we'll be having a discussion about toxic coaching. So tune in next Wednesday. Thank you again to our listeners for tuning in to the Gripcast Gymnastics Unfiltered. Thank you.